Well, I'm very thankful to be back with you all. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to be here, and I count it a privilege. The Lord's seemed like laid you all in my heart and mind for some time, and need the Lord's help to visit with each of us this and the following services and ask for your prayers. The Lord would bless His word to our hearts here tonight. We sang a song that said, I didn't remember all the words of it, but it says, "For my helper is Jesus, who faithfully saith." My burden tonight is to speak about our helper. I'd like to turn to the book of Acts. The 27th chapter, I'd like to recall this account from Paul's life. Acts 27. You ever take note of how interesting the stories of the Word of God are and how varied? And this is one of them to me that you read about the shipwreck that Paul experienced. Acts 27, beginning in the 14th verse, it says, "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. And, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." I won't read all of the story, but if you'll remember, the Lord appeared unto Paul and revealed unto him that they would be saved, that they would be safe, but must stay with the ship. What I'd like for us to take note of is the verse in verse 17 that talks about the action that they took. It says, "When they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship." As I read up some of what that involved and what it was, my understanding of it was that they would take large cables or ropes and they would throw it over one side of the ship and they would maneuver those ropes underneath the bottom of the ship and bring it up the other side by ships. And I believe that was the way they did it here, by small boats that they would let down, or they would maneuver it around perhaps the back of the boat. And they had several ways to let the current carry it and so forth. But the idea was to get it on the opposite side of the ship, bring it back up to the deck, and then they would secure it and tighten it so that it undergirded, as the scripture here says, undergirding the ship. Because the ship was under a lot of stress and a lot of strain. It was in the middle of a storm. It was being, the structural integrity of the ship was being put to the test. And they wanted to reinforce it. They wanted to be able to run those helps, they called it, underneath, to cinch the boat up and prevent it as it twisted and all in the waves, to prevent it from splitting apart. And that is rendered the word helps. I'd like to turn now to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. I'd like to read here a familiar passage. The 14th verse of Hebrews 4 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the same word in the Greek as the one that we just read in Acts. So if you look at the definition of that word, it is the ropes or the cables that are used to undergird a ship in times of a storm. And this scripture says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You ever found yourself in need of help? You have a project or a task that's too big for you? You're not able to accomplish it on your own, or you've got too much to do, or you don't know how to go about it. Isn't it nice to be able to call somebody that knows what to do? And they can walk you through it, or they can say, you know what, I'll be right over and I'll show you how to do it. And you know the old law system pointed out what you were to do, what you weren't to do. You know what grace does? Grace shows you how to do it. Like the scripture that says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we ought to live soberly, godly, and righteous in this present world. I need help. I need the Lord to teach me, to show me how to do it. I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful for help in time of need, that the Lord will come and show us and teach us how to do what needs to be done. I remember, it's common now, but the first time I rented a car that had steering assist. And it was quite a thing to me that it would help steer and keep me in the lane. Maybe it was the second one, because this one, I recall, it would beep at me whenever I was starting to go out of the lane. But that's all it did. It'd beep at me and tell me I was doing wrong. But I drove a different car that would not only beep at me, it would assist me in steering back into the right way. And I don't want to go too far into the difference between the law and grace. But grace does more than just show us that we're wrong and show us where we're wrong and where we failed. Grace helps take the wheel and says, let me help you through this. Let me show you what to do, and let me give you the help to do it. There are a lot of definitions that are used for grace, but if you could accept my working definition tonight, it is the divine influence of God in our life, the divine enabling influence of God working in our life. We may find grace to help us in time of need. I remember calling a brother one time, and I knew that he had been going through some very difficult places in his life with his family, and I wanted to check on him. I hoped to try to be an encouragement to him, and he said something that's always stayed with me. He said, you know, about time that I feel like I can't go on, the grace of God is there. And he said, grace to me is kind of like when you're stuck in the mud and you can switch it to four-wheel drive. And it gives you extra help to just rise up above it and to keep going. You know, the Lord is interested in us going on. He's interested in helping us through the tests of our life, through the times of need that we experience and that we go through. He's interested in helping us with those places. Romans, the fifth chapter, think a little more about this grace as our help. It says, where sin abounded, grace doth much more abound. I'm thankful that the Lord's help is superior to the forces of the enemy that would come against us and that would oppose us. The scripture tells us, John said, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Another scripture says, maybe we'll touch on this a little later, but the Lord told Paul that my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. It's suited for whatever it is that you face and whatever it is that I encounter in life. I don't have to have had to be there myself to be able to encourage someone that God can bring you through. Because I'm convinced that the grace of God is able to do that. Someone I remember told me a while back, he was talking about my children, and I don't know how your children are going to make it. I don't know how you can stand the thought of sending your children out into a world as dark as this. And I had to say, I understand completely what you're saying. And I feel the same way, except for my confidence in the grace of God. The grace of God is able to keep us no matter how dark, no matter how difficult the opposition might get. His grace is sufficient. Well, James said it this way, that he giveth more grace. How much grace do you have? You ever feel like your supply is getting low? He has more. He can give more if we'll come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain a fresh supply of grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 and the 5th verse. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, because of that and of that assurance, we can boldly say that the Lord is our what? The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't it wonderful to have a helper? I believe the scripture talks about the benefit of unity, and it says if two are better than one, because if one fall in a ditch, the other's able to help him out. If two lie together, they're warm when it's cold. You know, we don't have to go through life alone. The Lord is our helper. I can only go so far with you. My wife is a helpmeet unto me. But she can only go so far with me. But the Lord has promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And because of that, I can boldly say, in my test, in my trial, when I'm facing the unknown, the Lord is my helper. I don't have the answers. I don't know how this is going to work out or turn out. I don't know how I'm going to do this. The Lord is my helper. And with God, all things are possible. This word helper, if you look at the Greek definition of this word, it means one who runs to the cry. One who runs to the cry. I'd like to read Psalms, the 34th chapter. Psalms 34 and verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord's ears are open unto our cry. Our helper. A helper is one who runs to the cry. You know what's said many times of law enforcement and of first responders? That they're the ones whenever people are running away from danger. They're the ones that are running towards it. We've done at work some active shooter drills and simulations and try to prepare. What would we do if somebody came into our workspace? How would we best be prepared? And the sheriff told us, really, whenever that happens, there's only so much you can do. And you have just a short window of time before the majority of the damage is done. And he said, many times you'll have people that'll say, oh, I pack a gun. I carry, I always have one out in my vehicle. And regardless of company policy, I know what I'm going to do when that happens. And he said, it's altogether different when the bullets are flying. People's courage dissolves and their intentions go by the wayside. But he said, you know, within 2 or 3 minutes, we'll be there. And when others are running away, we'll be running towards the sound of gunfire. Well, I appreciate those that are willing to sacrifice and put themselves in harm's way. But I think of how the Lord is one who runs to our cry. Whenever He hears His child in distress, the Lord's ear is open to that. And we have this confidence that He hears us. His ears are open unto our cry and His eyes are over us. Jesus expressed a belief similar sentiment when He looked out over Jerusalem and He said, how often I would have gathered you together. That was instinct. It was His desire. It was His heart towards them to gather you together as a hen doth her chickens, who is so attuned unto the needs and the dangers of her chicks. That was His heart for them and for each one of us. The Lord sees us all together. He hears our cry when we don't have words to put to it. He's touched with the very feeling of our infirmity. He is attentive unto us. In fact, he said that a mother might even forget her suckling child before I'll forget you. We don't have to worry about whether the Lord forgets us. For He said, I've graven you on the palm of my hands. I can't forget you. And the Lord is attentive unto our needs and unto our cries. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. A familiar and I hope comforting one to us. What shall we then say to these things? What things do you have in your life? Things is a pretty generic term. What things are there that you're facing? What shall we say to it? There are times that I say, I don't know what to say. I am perplexed. I'm at my wit's end. What shall we say? How about this? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, when you think about what the Lord has at His disposal as a helper, I've already mentioned it's a blessing to be able to call someone that has the knowledge of something. My car is making a sound and call them, and what do I do about it? I'm in the middle of a project and it's gone sideways. That's happened to me a few times. To be able to call and say, I'm in over my head. It's such a blessing to be able to call somebody that knows more than me. Somebody that knows how to do it. You know what all the Lord knows? Everything. There's nothing new to Him. You think the Lord's ever found Himself in a crisis? No. In a pickle, we might say, where He's, I don't know what to do with this one. I'm stuck. You think the Lord's ever had to refer someone to a specialist? I'm sorry, this one is, I'm over my head with this one. I can do a lot, but I don't know what to do about that situation. I don't know how to change that person's heart. I don't know how to change this situation. I don't believe the Lord is in a crisis or perplexed or caught off guard. And you look at what's in His arsenal. You can study scriptures that talk about the host of heaven. You know, the host of heaven are at His disposal and His beck and call. The hailstones are part of His arsenal. The hornets are part of His arsenal. You know, even whenever the Egyptians were driving their chariots fast and furious on the hills of the Israelites, you know, He caused their wheels to come off. how are you going to do that? Who would have thought of that? Well, maybe in warfare that would be something you'd think of to try to slow down the enemy that's pursuing you. Do you know if the Lord is our ally, who can really be our enemy? If the Lord is able to look down and speak the word and suddenly the wheels come off the chariot, what are you going to do when axles are stuck in the mud? It doesn't matter how strong your arms are. It doesn't matter how well you can fight. I'm stuck in the mud. I can't go anywhere. I'm going to tell you, I want a helper like that. I want a helper that sees, you know, we have satellites now and spy planes and drones and all of that that help armies in the theater of war. To be an eye in the sky to say, I know where the enemy is. I know what direction they're moving. I know when they're going to be there. I know what their strategy is. Espionage is part of warfare, I'd say, of most nations, to try to get in and get intelligence on what the enemy's doing, on what their plans are, where they're going to go. And that's so vital to be able to successfully wage a warfare. You remember the time that the Lord did that for Israel? Before the days of satellites or hot air balloons or drones or anything, the Lord, whose eye, the scripture says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. That speaks to me that the Lord wants to show himself strong on our behalf. The Lord wants to be a helper unto us. Well, the Lord did that, and the enemy that was encamped against Israel, they finally decided there's got to be a spy among us. Because every time our best laid plans, it always works for us. We know exactly what to do. But we get there and there they are. It's like someone tipped them off. Who is it? No, O King, there's a prophet over there. You know the Lord is able to do for us what man cannot do. The Lord hears whispered conversations behind closed doors. The Lord sees and knows the hearts. We are so limited in how much of the picture we can really see. But the Lord is our helper. And the Lord sees all things and understands and knows all things. Well, we could go on and on of what's at the Lord's disposal to help his people. And folks, the Lord is just the same today. And your and my problems and situations, the Lord wants to be our helper. If God be for us, who can be against us? 20th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But us, we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. Who's our help? Our helper? Who do we turn to in times of need? You know, I believe the Lord wants to be more real to us in our lives than a last resort option. When every other help has failed. Oh, you know what? Okay, well, God, would you help me? I believe the Lord wants to be our helper in the smallest of things in our life. And I believe that's really what teaches us when the bigger things come. You know what? Of course I'm going to turn to the Lord. Lord, you help me with the lion. You help me with the bear. Would you be my helper as I go and face the giant now? Let's make the Lord our helper. Psalms 107, 7th chapter. Psalms 107, we'll begin here in the 23rd verse. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters,
These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. This is those that do business in great waters. This isn't just a Sunday afternoon somebody that says, you know what, let's take the boat out. These are men that know how to handle ships. It's what they do for a living. They know how to respond whenever things aren't going well. They've done it all their lives. But you know, there will come times in our lives where what we've known all our life isn't going to be enough. My own strength is not going to be enough. My own understanding is not going to be enough. They did everything they knew to do. And it came to the point that they were left like drunk men reeling to and fro. They couldn't do anything effectual. Fear had taken over. They were just maybe responding out of fear or out of panic. We're in a bad place here. And everything I try, it seems like it just makes it worse. They are at their wit's end. How does wit's end feel? You know, it can feel pretty lonely. It can feel pretty distressing. It can feel panicky. Lord, this seems like the end of the road. I can't go on. There's a mountain right in front of me. Lord, there's an ocean, a sea right before me. I can't go on any longer. Remember even the disciples when they were out in the ship and the storm rose up. And it got to the point that the ship was filling with water and they began to question. First in their minds, does the master not care? I believe that because the words that came out when they went and asked him, Master, don't you care that we perish? It wasn't, Lord, are we going to perish? Death is imminent here. We're going down. And you're fast asleep. Don't you care? Folks, I want to encourage us that the Lord our helper is one who runs to our cry. But I'm going to tell you, even as the Lord was talking to me about these things, I was having a dialogue with him. The Lord, there have been times that I've cried out unto you, and it didn't feel like you were running to my cry. Lord, there were times that I was crying and crying and praying and seeking you, and it seemed like the answer didn't come. You know what the enemy wants to begin whispering? Does he care? Does he see? Is he able to do anything about it? Is he still answering prayer today? Jesus was just there asleep in the ship. But there was a purpose in it all. Folks, when Jesus sleeps, it's not that he overslept the alarm clock. It's not that he is unconscious to what's going on. Lord, I don't know why you're not responding. Lord, we're crying out. This is getting bad now. The waves are hard. The water's filling the ship. And you're asleep. Oh, ye of little faith. What happened to your faith? What did you think was really going to happen to you? They were at their wits' end, and perhaps you have been there as well in your life. And perhaps you'll get there again. Or if you haven't yet, you're likely to. The scripture says that even the youths will faint. The young men are going to fall. Those that are in their prime, that have the most to bring to bear on problems, it's not going to be enough. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. How are you going to do that unless your helper is God? How are we going to do that unless we have something greater than ourselves? You know, wit's end is a pretty uncomfortable place to be. But I would offer to you, it's not necessarily
a bad place to be. And I have found that the sooner that I can come to the place that I realize, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I don't have what it takes. I wonder if Peter would have had that mindset instead of saying, Lord, I'll never betray you. Never. We're good here. You might want to check those other guys, but I'm good here. I wonder if instead, maybe at Jesus' prompting when he said, Peter, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. If Peter would have said, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this test. I need your grace. Whenever we come to the Lord, poor in spirit, brokenhearted, not just in contrition of sin, Lord, I need help. Lord, I am desperate here. Folks, those cries do not fall on deaf ears. Believe the Lord's heart is touched and moved by the cries of His people. Well, let's keep reading here. They're at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Life has storms. And if we're going to traverse life, we're going to face them. But I want you to know the one that controls the storm and the waves wants to be our helper. And the Lord is able, when the moment is right, to speak the word and say, waves, be still. It's enough. But I also want to hope encourage you with this, that while the storm is still raging, He's still our helper. Remember the ropes that undergird the ship. You know, sometimes and many times, Lord, I want to see something drastic. I need something drastic. I want to see a flash of lightning, so to speak, and this situation change. And sometimes the Lord does that. But sometimes a storm rages on. And He says, child, throw the rope. I want to undergird you. And folks, He has grace to help us. Grace to undergird us whenever the storm is still raging. You don't need the undergirdment whenever the sea is calm. But there are times that I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need something extra. Lord, I need some reinforcement here. And He has grace to help us. He has undergirdment. That's a word. An undergirding for us to hold us together when otherwise I'd have come apart. And folks, sometimes grace is not the crash of thunder and flash of lightning, but the quiet sustaining of a soul that is in distress that would have otherwise crushed him. Remember whenever Paul, and the Lord brought this to my mind, was saying, Lord, it just seems like sometimes you're running to my aid doesn't come very quickly. Paul three times prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him the answer, my grace is sufficient for you. I believe, kind of leads me to think, there were two times that he maybe didn't get much more than silence. But he kept coming. And he kept coming to the Lord. And the Lord's answer to him wasn't, I don't believe, what Paul was seeking for directly. But he said, the answer is my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. It'll carry you through. There's a song that I've heard the salmon sing a number of times. God says you're going to make it. You're not going under. God says you're going to make it. Folks, the Lord has the grace to help us in our times of need, in our times of distress. And when the Lord sees the time is right, folks, He'll bring us out of our distresses and make the storm a calm and the waves thereof to be still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. The Lord is a very present help in trouble. I'd like to rehearse to us Isaiah 41. 41 and 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. You know, it's one thing to say that. It's one thing to have a head knowledge of something. But grace can translate it. Grace to help can translate it from the mind to the heart. Lord, I know you're God. Lord, I know you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You see, this isn't just mind over matter. It's not just positive thinking. It is, child, get your eyes off of that and get it onto this. I've got something greater for you than the storm that you're in. I've got something greater for you than the weakness that you're struggling with right now. Don't be afraid because I'm with you. Don't be dismayed because I am your God. Remember in Hebrews, that's why we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Because the Lord has said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Remember what you are. The Lord remembers. Lord, you know my frame, that I am but dust. When we come into, I remember whenever I was taking driver's ed class, I didn't think I needed help. I know how to drive. I had driven the first time whenever I couldn't even see over the dash. We lived out in the country and I was under 8. And when I took the wheel by myself and going down the drive, I've been doing this, even though I was 15, I've been doing this for 8 years. I don't need to know how to use your blinker and all of that. I've got it. And you know, I came to realize I was that teacher's worst nightmare. And he let me know that I need to unlearn everything I thought I knew. And he was there to teach me what I needed to know. You know, if we come to the Lord with the mindset, I've got this. I know how to handle it, whether I say it or whether I live my life like it on a day-to-day basis, where I don't seek the Lord earnestly. Lord, I've got this. You know, I've done this so many times before. The Lord wants to be our helper. But I can limit the extent to which He's able to help me. The Lord is a very present help. In time of trouble, I'm thankful that the Lord is present. There is no place that we will be or find ourselves where we are out of earshot of the Lord. Believe in Deuteronomy. It says that the Lord, the 33rd chapter, He rideth upon the heavens for thy help. And He said, underneath are the everlasting arms. Folks, when we feel alone, when we feel like our ship is right at the point of breaking apart, underneath are the everlasting arms. But I don't want to close before leaving us with a challenge as well. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, mentioned a moment ago that we can limit the extent to which the Lord is able to help us. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 in the first verse. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He said, I beseech you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Grace is offered unto us. The grace of God hath appeared unto all mankind.
The Lord is no discriminator of persons. The Lord will be the helper of any who will cry out unto Him. But don't receive the grace of God in vain. Don't let His extended grace to you become of naught by not allowing it to work in your life. James says in the fourth chapter, he said, "You have not because you ask not." If we have confidence in our helper, you're going to ask Him? You're going to wait until every other option has failed? Or can we say, "Lord, help me to live in such a way that I feel my dependency upon the Lord and that I let the Lord be my helper?" The song says, "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I'm thankful today that the Lord is our helper and that the Lord extends to every one of us the grace to help us in our time of need. The battle is going to be too exhausting, the race too long, the water too deep in my own strength. But if God be with us, if God be for us, if He be my helper, what do I have to fear? And so I leave you with the encouragement, make the Lord your helper. Take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Whatever you do, the Lord is our helper. Pray for me.